Blog Talk Radio.
You're on there.
Greetings to each and every one of you on listening to the KS Blog Radio Station, a segment that we are now calling Love, Forgiveness, and Second Chances. This is your host of the hour, Valerie Harris, and I am delighted to meet you once again on this station. And I pray that something that may be said or discussed on the line will be a blessing to someone else. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we thank you for tonight, Lord. We thank you, Father, for watching over us today, over our rising up, Lord God, and throughout the day, Father. We thank you for protecting our families and our friends, Lord. But, Father, right now in this hour, we just ask that your presence will come, that your Holy Spirit will come and take over, Father. Father, touch hearts. Father, touch our ears that we might hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. And, Father, if there's found anything within us, Lord God, where we have offended you in any way, we come to you now, Lord God, asking that you would forgive us, Lord God. You said that if we confess our sins before you, Lord God, that you are faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And, Father, we want to be clean, Lord God, when we come before your throne of grace. Lord God, we thank you. I cover each and every person with the blood of Jesus Christ. And I thank you, Father, once again. We love you. We adore you. We magnify you, God. We give you all of the glory, all of the honor, and all of the praise. Amen and amen. Well, tonight's subject is going to be about forgiveness. And before I even start, I must say that love and forgiveness is attributes that really go hand in hand. And I'm going to start with this scripture. And I've been reading and studying this in the Word and just trusting God to bring it all together in a manner that he would want to bring it together. Matthew 18, verses 15 and 17 reads, "If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector." I read that scripture and it really hit home for me because I can think about times when I've been hurt and offended by people that I love or people that I thought and I would say were my friends. And sometimes it's the people that are closest to you that hurt you the most. It's like if a stranger says something to you or does something to you, sometimes it doesn't hurt as much because they don't mean anything to you. They haven't gotten into your heart. It's not somebody that you love. But reading this passage of scripture, I begin to reflect on in my own life. You know, one thing about the Word of God, when it comes and it begins to speak, it exposes you. And it speaks to you first before you can ever relay that to somebody else. God teaches us by example. And I was reading that, and I'm not the type of person that likes confrontation. I really don't. And I don't want to say something that hurts somebody else. And so I thought about this passage of scripture because I have a mentor in my life. And whenever I was feeling like somebody said something or did something wrong to me, and I would go to her and try to tell her, you know, how hurt I was, she'd always turn that thing around on me, and she'd say, "Well, what did you do? Search your heart and see if there was anything that you did to prompt the action of this other person." And I learned over the years how much wisdom is in that alone, that I would search my own heart. Did I say or do something to somebody else that would cause them to react the way they did towards me? Did I say something to them that may have offended them that would cause them? You know how the cycle just goes on and on. But it's always good to search your own heart. But also the scripture says that when a brother sins against you, you go tell him his fault. We don't always like to confront people, and we don't trust people enough to react the way, you know, especially if you've had some trauma in your life. You don't want that rejection to come. You don't want to have it out with anybody. So we'll go and discuss that among someone else and find out somebody else's opinion before we keep that matter private and trust that you could go to your brother, you can go to your friend and have this discussion. A lot of times, we misinterpret what a person is even saying or the reason why they're saying it. But if we can go to that person, we sit down in love and honesty and say, "You know, I'm not quite sure about this, but you might have said something to me that hurt me, or what you did or how you embarrassed me or how you treated me really hurt me." And you open that up for discussion. A true brother or true friend would talk it out, and then the whole matter is done with. And you back to your, you have protected and guarded your relationship. Proverbs 17:17 says that a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. But that particular scripture about going and talking to your friend first, or going and talk to your brother first, that if he listens, then you've gained your brother. And it doesn't, there's no offense there. And the thing is that we have to learn how to preserve relationships and restore relationships between one another. But then it goes on to say, but if he does not listen, then you go and you take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. So if you go and you confront your friend and you cannot, or your brother, and you cannot get any resolution out of that, then you go and you take somebody with you. Don't just take anybody. Take somebody who's going to love that person and love you too, who's going to be objective and not take sides, but who's going to go and try to help mend the relationship, not drive a further wedge between you and your relationship with a friend or a brother. But then the scripture goes on and says, if he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. Well, by the time it hits where you have to go to the church and try to resolve something, this is bigger than what you even thought it should be in the first place. And if he refuses to listen then, say, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Bottom line, he wasn't a friend to begin with. He wasn't a brother to begin with. Or else he's just not at that place in his life or mature in his life that he can settle that. But even then, you have to love. Even if it means that you have to walk away from a relationship for a season, because some people are in your life for only a season. There's a purpose that God has just for a season. You'll find very few that will be with you for a lifetime. Forgiveness is to let go of your bitterness and your anger. And according to the Bible, we are to forgive. Ephesians 4:32 declares, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Colossians 3:13 proclaims, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And then here when you read Matthew 6:14-15, this comes right after the Lord's Prayer, where Jesus is teaching his followers how to pray. And we know that our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive others. So here in verse 14 says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Forgiveness is very crucial in the kingdom of God. And Jesus tells us not to be quick to offend one another. We shouldn't offend anybody. But in our human nature, those things do happen. We do offend. Not only do we offend, we are offended. But when we have those moments in our humanity where we hurt somebody, where we say the wrong thing, it could be jesting with somebody. You know, when you realize that you may have hurt somebody, not intentionally. Sometimes we do it on purpose out of spite. But there are times we might slip up and say something or do something, not regarding another person's feelings above our own. We have to correct that. It's a principle. It's necessary for us to be able to forgive. Because if we don't forgive others, the scripture says that he will not forgive us. In Luke 5:17-20, it tells a story about a group of men who came in with this man on a sick bed. And the scriptures read, and it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, talking about Jesus, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which would come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. The power was in the house, y'all. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy. And they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. But when they could not find by what way that they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and they let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. Now let me repeat that. And when he saw their faith, he's talking about the men that had enough faith to drop this man through the floor and land before Christ. He didn't first of all say, rise up, take up your bed and walk. He told that man, your sins are forgiven you. If you think about that, sometimes our sickness is connected with our sins, with our trespasses. So it's imperative that we guard the issues of our heart with all diligence. It's imperative that we search our own heart and be in constant communion with God to let him expose the things that we may not even recognize. So we go to God and we're able to confess our sins. He said that if we confess our sins, that he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He wipes the slate clean. There are areas in our life where we need to forgive. We need to forgive those who have hurt us, those who have offended us. We need to forgive those. And it's not always easy. I'm going to try to tie this in relationship with our children. And I'm going to say that because I have this burden or this passion that God has placed on my heart to help rescue our troubled kids. Why are they so angry? Why are they so violent? What is the trauma in their lives that caused them to act out the way they act out? Over the years, each generation seems to get worse and worse and worse. We look at society, at our communities, and we have so many broken homes. I was speaking to, as many of you know, I go to the prisons generally on Monday. On death row. And I was speaking to this man, and I've been visiting him for years. And I was talking to him about the subject of forgiveness. And he brought it to my attention. He said, I used to hate my father. As a young boy, I would see him abuse my mother. That he cheated on her. He would beat her. And he left her. And he said, the way my father treated my mother and I in my presence, I hated him. I hated him enough to want to kill him. And he said that hate just festered in his heart. And he didn't understand why, when he was grown, why he was so angry all the time and why he had this hate, this boom within him. And it wasn't until he was incarcerated and he had time to himself, time to meditate, got quiet and began to hear God. God showed him the root. And all of his anger and that rage that was on the inside of him entered in when he saw how his father treated his mother. And he had vowed that he would never be like his daddy. But as he grew up, he found himself doing some of the same things. Not beating women, but pretty much the other things that his father did, he would do. See, the curses of the fathers are passed down to their sons. Generation after generation, if that curse isn't broke, it magnifies and it gets worse until love steps in, until forgiveness steps in. And he said the first thing he had to do was forgive himself. Forgive himself of feeling that way and then choosing to forgive his father. And he said when he decided to forgive his dad, it was as if a weight was lifted off of him. Forgiveness is a powerful tool, a powerful instrument. And the elements that he described, because I was telling him about when I had to forgive. According to the Spirit and according to the Word, I had to forgive others in order for God to forgive me. But as I was crying out to God and as he was showing me people who had hurt me, things that were said, you know, sometimes it's painful to go and revisit your past, but sometimes it's necessary for you to go and reach back and find the root of what's going on in your life when God is exposing it to you, not to hurt you, not to bring you harm, but bring deliverance into your life, to bring healing to you. It's a terrible thing for you to go through something and don't even know the why. But when you know the why, you have a choice. You can choose you this day whom you're going to serve. Are you going to follow after love or are you going to follow after hate? Are you going to follow after forgiveness or are you going to walk in unforgiveness? Are you going to be free or are you going to be bitter? We have a choice. And so as in my own experiences, God was exposing people in my life from my childhood who had hurt me. And all this pain seemed to follow me like a evil spirit, an evil presence that would put me in situations I never should have even been in. I chose to forgive and crying out to God, even in my desperation. I had to ask him to help me to forgive. And then once I cleared that and I felt that weight lift, I could hear the Spirit of the Lord say, now forgive yourself. Because sometimes we put ourselves in bad situations. Sometimes we're the reason and it's not the other person. And for me, I know that I'm my worst critic. I don't let myself get away with much of anything when I'm exposed. If I've done something wrong or if I've done something against somebody else, it bothers me. I can't let go of it. And when I make mistakes, I used to be a real bad perfectionist. I didn't like B's on my report card. I wanted to be perfect. I don't know if it was for approval. I don't understand why I did not want to be less than perfect. But once I settled in and found out that my flaws were not the end all, but in my life they were lessons to make me better. Then I was okay. So I can make a mistake. I'll write a paper or a letter. If I had some mistake, if I misspelled a word, I'd tap the paper and start all over again instead of getting some white out or something or crossing a line out and writing over it. I did not like mistakes. And I was hard on myself. And I didn't like rejection, not realizing that I was rejecting myself most. Because I was less than. I never saw myself as good enough. I never saw myself as being the one to fit in. I graduated number 17 out of my class, the top 10% out of almost 500 students. But I never felt worthy. I never felt good enough. I wasn't number one. I was number 17. That was a major accomplishment. Got a scholarship to school. Didn't have to pay for an education by God's grace. Have an engineering degree. The only black female when I went to school that graduated in electrical engineering. The only one. I had the outward accomplishments, but no inner fulfillment until God told me I had to forgive myself. Ooh, didn't know that you had to do that. But then this is the most critical one of all for me. It's when he told me, not forgive me. I'm having this conversation with God. Well, God, why do I need to forgive you? You didn't do nothing wrong. He said, yeah. But you wonder why all these things happened to you. Where was I? Had I abandoned you? Where was I? As if I wasn't there. To see you go through what you went through. He's always there. But one thing God did when he created man, he gave man choice. And then, believe it or not, he gives us warnings. We walk into dangerous places, but if we reflect back, he's us. Some kind of way, he sent forth a warning. Don't go there. You don't need to go out tonight. Stay at home. Don't turn left. Go right. He might send you around the long way around to keep you from danger. And we dismissed it because we think it is us and don't realize that it's the Spirit of God trying to protect us. So it's important that we forgive others. But just as important is that we forgive ourselves. Because unforgiveness, even with ourselves, will cause, and unforgiveness is tied in with bitterness, and it'll cause you to have infirmities in your body. God wants us free. Free from torment. Free from stress. Free from anxiety. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. He came to loose the chains of bondage off of our minds, off of our hearts, off of our souls. He came to set us free. The kingdom of God is joy, peace, and righteousness And if one of those is disturbed, something is not right. If we're not walking in joy, if we don't have the joy of the Lord, because that's our strength. If we don't have the peace that passes all understanding. So you can be going through a storm, but if everything is right in your relationship with God, if you're forgiven, if you're walking in fullness of God, and when the storms come, you still have peace, righteousness, being right with God. That's the kingdom that dwells on the inside of us. But it's always under attack. And God wants us to recognize these things and then for us to forgive him. Why would God need forgiveness? He doesn't. We need it. And if we hold something against God, who's absolutely perfect, he wants us to be free. And not only are we to forgive him in our hearts, we have to make sure that we do what we need to do to make sure that he's forgiven us. And he tells us in the scriptures to forgive one another, to forgive your brother, to forgive those who have caused offense in your life or hurt. Because if we don't forgive others their trespasses against us, he won't forgive our trespasses against him. So there's a fourth element, and really that's the first one, because that's what the kingdom of God is based on. John the Baptist was crying in the wilderness saying, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. When Jesus came on the scene, the message didn't change. It was repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And when he left this earth and his apostles and his disciples moved about ministering to other people, that was still the message. Repent. Change your mind. Change your direction. For the kingdom of God is at hand. The message haven't changed. We have to stay in right relationship with God, but we also have to be in right relationship with one another. Jesus said, I pray, Father, that they will be one, just as you and I are one. We can look at the outer things that are going on. We see the world getting dark, and we see our children angry. We see them fighting, and we see them killing, and we see mass shootings in schools and in different places. You cannot turn on the news any day of the week, and they don't have a killing. Somebody's died. Somebody's killed, whether it's a police killing children or fathers, killing their wives, boyfriends, killing their girlfriends, killing. Somebody is killing. The spirit of murder is rampant. And is rooted in the spirit of hate and anger. And the only thing that will defeat hate is love. The only thing, love and forgiveness. The veil was rent so that we could have access to the mercy seat. But we also, although we have access to this mercy seat, we must also be able to administer mercy to others. So that we can be forgiven. so that we can be in right standing with God. If I regard iniquity in my heart, he won't hear me. We need our prayers to get through. We need to know that they not falling to the ground and being unanswered because of our own wicked heart. The heart of man is desperately wicked and can't nobody know it but God. So we have to constantly be before him and let him shine his light of love and expose us to us so he can use us. We don't want to be discounted out of the race. We want to endure to the end. We want to help somebody along our way in our journey. And we don't want to miss out on God's blessings. So let's walk in love. And it's important that we love ourselves. How can we love somebody else when we don't love ourselves? I know the scriptures say we should prefer others before we do ourselves. But that don't mean we don't love ourselves. He said, love your neighbor as you love yourself, but you can't love your neighbor if you don't love you. So let's get healed. Let's get delivered. Let us get set free. And let us stay free by the blood of Jesus Christ and love and forgiveness, because he always gives us a second chance. We don't run out of chances with God. His arms are always outstretched, waiting for us to come. Come into his presence with singing. Enter into his courts with praise. Magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name forever. Amen. The lines are open for any comments, for any prayer requests, for any testimonies. The lines are open.
Amen, amen, amen. What a word tonight. What a word tonight. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That word forgiveness has a multitude of understanding. But the biggest of it all, we got to first forgive ourselves. I learned tonight from that. I want to thank you, my beloved. God bless you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Anyone else? Your time to let your voice be heard. We're helpers of one another.
Brother Gregory. Well, you know, teacher, as you were teaching tonight, many have been listening, some have been listening, probably some of them at the football game, some of them are cooking, perhaps some of them are just looking. But I want to tell you tonight, one of the things God did a job in my heart tonight, and listen to what you were saying, because I remember, but you said, God said, you got to pray for yourself, on down the line. 1, 2, 3, 4. And then God said, you got to forgive me. And then you said, God says, I have to forgive myself for you. Am I saying that right or wrong, teacher?
No, you're saying it right.
And I mean, it kind of put me in a position to say, wow, that's deep. So I have to see now, okay, I've asked the Father, okay, Father, you have to forgive yourself for not being there for me. But I understand what it says more now. And I just thank God for what God is doing for us and through us and by us. How he's bringing us to a closer walk with him. Today, as I went to the bank, if I may share some with somebody out there and listen, man, I made a mistake. And sometimes when you make a mistake, you have to go back and clean it up. And as I went back to find out what was wrong, I made the mistake. And I didn't apologize. I asked to forgive me. I asked the banker to forgive me. But that's during the time I was talking to my beloved sister about what was going on down in the prison. That's when I broke out in much tears. And the young man said, "You all right, sir?" I said, "I'm all right." I said, "Young man," I said, "my heart bleeds for these young people, as my sister was talking tonight to us. Sometimes we men have to forgive our fathers who have done us so much inconsistency that we can see what God will take us on that path." Open line tonight. But I want to thank you, teacher, for being there, Sister Harris. Thank you, Teacher Harris. Thank you. Thank you, Teacher Harris, for being there. Evangelist. Thank you, Evangelist. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Teacher. Thank you, Apostle. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. The closer I walk with the truth, the better I get. Amen. Amen. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Yes, indeed.
As Pastor Greg would say, we want to be better, not bitter. Don't be bitter, be better. I like that term. I'm going to have to borrow that one.
Yes, indeed. We don't want to be bitter. We want to be better. And I can live
we
with that.
We want
to
be better.
I can live with that. I can definitely live with that. But you know what we do when we come together as a family, and that's what God wants us to do. We need to be as a family. Being as a family, we learn some things. Some people don't like to be brought their weakness before them, but every one of us got some weakness. Every one of us got some weakness. This flesh we live in is weak all the time. And so what we have to do consistently is ask God, who loves us, who sent his only son to this earth and died the sins for our us. And I thank God for that opportunity in this hour that I now live in. I mean, we turn the television on, we see this. If it ain't one thing, it's like my sister, as the teacher said, every time you pick up turn the TV on, somebody's done something. Somebody want to do something. We don't have the love for one another. And our job, our profoundness comes from the fact we trust in God. And the more we trust in God, the more God wants, God uses us while he lives in our bodies. And so I want to thank God once again. Hope and pray somebody says they want to speak to the nation. Can we talk? My God Almighty. Anybody else? Oh, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you.
You know, Pastor, I was thinking about, you know, last week when I was talking about Jesus in the garden when he was asking his friends if they could just watch with him 1 hour.
1 hour.
And he kept going back and praying. You know, he was wrestling his humanity with his spirituality. But you know,
that's right.
Third time when he released it to God and he had peace, he got up, and when he went to his friends, when he went to his disciples, he didn't question them. He said, "Well, take your rest," because he was at peace. And when you're at peace, you can give others peace.
Mm-hmm.
But then when he was at peace, he was also in his power. Because when you go to the end of that story and the soldiers came to get him, he was in full control
of that situation. Yes.
Because he told his disciples, he told Peter, "I could call a legions of angels. I could ask my father for that." But he didn't. because he was walking in his purpose, and he was walking it out in peace and power. Peace, power, purpose.
My God, that's good teaching. That's good teaching. Ooh, that's good teaching. That's good teaching. By the word of God. By the word of God. And when you, when we sit down and it's, and one thing I take notice of, when he kept praying, the agony, the agony, I am a man, and I know sometimes things get all rustled up in my flesh, and sometimes I can't find peace. But I found out, with, and it coincides, when we find peace in what's going on, the commitment we have made towards situation before God, we come at peace, and therefore we can go through it. When a person lies on you, when you come at peace, when you go through it, when they talked about you, you have peace, you can go through it. When you see somebody don't like you, you go through it. And one of the things I've come to understand, I have to help, every day I ask God, help me to love myself. Help me to love myself. Help me to love myself. Because sometimes self, as I said, me, myself, and I can be some bad people. Me wants to be in charge. I think I'm in charge. Got to be, want to be. But when you take notice and do that, I believe God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit will lead us and guide us. And teacher, I just want to thank you for allowing me to be on your program tonight, having a word or two with you, and may God bless you. Amen.
God bless you too. Amen. Amen. Well, if no one has anything else, let's close out in prayer. Pastor Hunter, will you cover us in prayer?
Father God,
in prayer.
Yes, sir. Father, tonight's that night, we just come before you with thanksgiving in our hearts. We thank to know that you are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But Father, as I said earlier, thank you, Holy Spirit, for bringing us to release all the control to you so that God the Father can take us further in understanding. And I ask you, Father, for the fullness of our life, we walk through the danger, but you're still right there for us. In the name of Jesus, Father, also, we thank you for what you've done for us today. You carried us from the prison to the prison. You don't know us. Here we are, just calling upon your name once again. We said, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, this night. Everyone that's listening on Blog Talk Radio, KESK radio station, that goes around the world at this time, Father, I pray that somebody in Africa, I pray that somebody in America, the 50 states, have heard the word. I pray that somebody next door to our neighbor have tuned in. I pray this day, Father, that your word will empower. For you said to us, go ye therefore into all the world and preach and teach the word. And we have to fulfill what you told us to do. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. It's in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Thank you. Amen, amen, amen. God bless. Thank you, teacher. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you as well. Well, we've come to a close of another segment, and we pray that you would join us again on next Monday. Be blessed. Have sweet sleep, and may the angels surround and protect your home, your children, your family, your livelihood, and may you wake up in joy as you go to sleep in peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a good night.
Amen.
Goodbye.
Hello? Hello?
Dr. Hunt?
Hello? Yes.
Hey, this is Charlene. Are y'all finished?
Hey, ma'am?
Y'all finished?
Yes, ma'am. We just finished. She just finished.
Okay, I was on. I had to take a call. I got off, so I was getting back on. So I was on for the first part.
Yeah. Well, the line is set.
That's Greg calling me on the other line, Dr. Hunter, so I'm just trying to get back in. So I'll see. I got to get his call. Okay.
All right.
Good night.
Good night.
Thank you. Nature's Bounty, because you're better not testing. This olive is a delivery on one.